Extraordinary Minds. Portraits of exceptional individuals and an examination of our extraordinariness. Author, Howard Gardner. Phenomena of Extraordinary Minds. In every age, a tiny percentage of individuals stand out by virtue of creative achievements. A few are distinguished because of the prodigiousness and quality of their output. Mozart, Freud, and Wolff are so special that they here constitute the principal exemplars of extraordinary minds. But they are not the only exemplars of extraordinariness. The Two Great Child Watchers. Sigmund Freud and Jean Piaget focused on complementary aspects of the child. For Freud, the central images of life concerned the child's relationship to other human beings, the infant's relationship to his mother, siblings' relationship with one another, and above all, the dramatic tension between the child and his parents at the time of the Oedipal conflict, when the young boy seeks to possess his mother and to rid himself of the threatening father. In treating troubled adults, one looked to triggering events in earlier years. For example, Virginia Woolf's extreme difficulties in relating sexually to men could be traced in a Freudian analysis to the early death of her brother, her father's rigidity, and her probable molestation by ICE of her half-brothers. Jean Piaget, on the other hand, devoted his research career to child's cognitive development, in which case, the growth of her intellectual powers. Given the building blocks of our study, interesting resonances occur between the missions of the two great child watchers. Freud was interested in the individual's relationship with other persons, while Piaget was interested explicitly in the individual's relationship to objects. He directed little attention to human relationships. While many of their specific claims have been challenged, current analysis of child development still builds on the approaches devised by Freud and Piaget. Taking off from their pioneering work, we present a set of snapshots of the principal milestones in the development of children. In each case, the focus is on those aspects of persons, objects, and symbols that characterize all children at the point in their growth. Extraordinary intelligence, the standard view. A consensual view about human intelligence is endorsed by psychologists and laypersons alike. According to the standard view, intelligence is a single entity that is of singular importance within modern society. Now, intelligence can be approximated through such measures as the time it takes to react to two flashes of light, or through analysis of patterns of brainwaves. And if you're lucky enough to score well in the intelligence sweepstakes, you are likely to do well in life. Extraordinary intelligence, the new view. Defying this agreement, the contention is the psychometric view of intelligence is anachronistic. Much of what we have learned in the past century from biology, psychology, and anthropology directly contradicts the key claims of the standard view. From biology, we learn that genetic and environmental factors are inseparable, and from psychology, we have learned that human beings possess many different intellectual faculties, and that these have considerable independence from one another. Multiple converging lines of evidence makes it necessary to propose that human beings have evolved as a species to possess at least seven distinct forms of intelligence, defined as the ability to solve problems or fashion products that are valued in at least one cultural setting or community. Most of the research on extraordinariness has taken place within the tradition that sees the IQ as all-important. Moreover, IQ tests do isolate a certain form of intelligence that is valued in our scholastically oriented culture. Lastly and most critically, there are youngsters who are indeed extraordinary in light of their high psychometric intelligence, and a good deal is known about these children. The case of Mozart as master. Mozart is one of those creators who wish to toil with ever greater skill and finesse over the course of a life. While impatient with others and constantly challenging himself, he showed little inclination to create new genres, preferring instead to realize to perfection the genres of his time. In part, this tendency reflects the era in which he lived. In the 17th and 18th centuries, composers were craftsmen, worked in well-recognized domain, creating works to order for their patrons. Certainly, this is how Bach and Haydn, Mozart's greatest predecessors, thought of themselves, and what Leopold Mozart wished for his son. Mozart set the stage for musical revolution. By being Mozart, he laid the groundwork for Beethoven and the Romantics. Just as Brahms and Wagner stimulated the musical revolutions of Stravinsky and Schoenberg a century later. Even among masters, Mozart stands out. First of all, the evenness of his productivity and its steadily high quality were stunning. It is almost if, independent of the events in his personal life and in the wider society, Mozart's brain had been set to produce a certain number of melodies and compositions per unit of time. And as is well known, he was able to do so virtually without revision, conceiving works almost entirely in his head. The case of Freud as a creative maker. Freud was extraordinarily gifted in language. Moreover, he had abiding interest in the lives of other persons and in the workings of his own mind, and thus stood out in what has been termed the personal intelligence. Moreover, his early skill in neuroanatomy and his subsequent immersion in the symptomatology of different groups of patients suggests special talent and naturalistic intelligence, the ability to recognize patterns in living phenomena. It made sense for Freud, who continued to think of himself as a scientist, to leverage his areas of strength, to forge a distinctive domain, one that drew on his linguistic, personal, and natural intelligences, while not calling in any strong sense on logical, mathematical, or spatial intelligences. The case of Wolff as an artist. As an artist, Virginia Woolf was extremely ambitious for herself and her work. From a relatively early point in her career, she saw herself as a part of a talented elite. Woolf sought insight into the mind for its own sake. As an artist, she had few ulterior motives and few illusions about the likelihood that art could alter society. Is extraordinariness desirable? Extraordinary individuals certainly make life more interesting. They add to our pleasure and to our mental nourishment, though sometimes also to our travail. It's intriguing to ask, would you wish such a fate for yourself, your children, or others you care about? While success may bring rewards, any triumph also ushers in a new round of jealousy and criticism, as well as the likelihood that one's ideas or works will be distorted, sometimes inadvertently, sometimes deliberately. The lives of the extraordinary are often rimmed with casual ties, some psychological, some mortal. Indeed, most of the extraordinary individuals have turned out to be very difficult people, often tortured, often inflicting suffering on those close to them. Finally, it's doubted that extraordinary individuals would stand out at age 20, on a psychologist's measure of difficultness. The extreme pressures of going it alone early in the career, combined with the enormous demands on them once they have made it, conspire to make many of them eligible as subjects for a pathographical bestseller or film.